Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. And on this Memorial Day, we mark the anniversary of one of the darkest days in American history. 100 years ago today, a white mob began a two-day terror campaign that wiped out a thriving black community near Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Greenwood section of that city had come to be known as Black Wall Street. It was destroyed. 300 African Americans were killed, hundreds more were injured, and thousands were left homeless. Carol Boston Weatherford is an award-winning author of books that chronicle important events in African American history. She has written a book for children that tells the story of this horrific event that is beautifully illustrated by Floyd Cooper, who is also a multi-award winner. The book is called Unspeakable: The Tulsa Race Massacre. Carol Boston Weatherford joined us on Zoom. Carol, welcome back. It's good to talk to you.
Good to be back, Tom.
So let me ask you to give, for folks who aren't familiar with this historical event, a little thumbnail sketch of actually what happened in Tulsa 100 years ago.
All right. Tulsa's Greenwood neighborhood was home to Black Wall Street, the wealthiest black district in the entire nation. But not everyone was pleased by the signs of black progress and black prosperity. In 1921, a white mob destroyed the community. They attacked the community after an encounter between two teenagers, a white elevator operator, female, and a black male shoeshine man. They were aged, I think, 17 and 19. No one really knows what happened between them, but the man was locked up. The mob wanted to get the man, the suspect, out of jail. The sheriff refused, and fighting ensued between black men who had gone to the jail to guard this man and the white mob that had gathered to take him out of jail and take justice into their own hands. By the next day, rumors had spread that the black community was planning to attack the white community, which it wasn't. But it was just a rumor that was ginned up so that the white community could attack the black community. And they did, leaving more than 300 dead and 8,000 to 10,000 people homeless. The economic losses would total $200 million in today's money. Mm.
And this story was largely untold for a long time, not even just by white people, but even in the black community. This was not a well-known story. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it was deliberate on the part of the white leaders, because the white politicians at the time and the police had really played into the hands of the white mob by not stopping them from attacking the black community. So they may as well have plotted with the police to destroy this black community. Now, in terms of the black community forgetting it, some people moved away, you know, never returned. But there was a lot of pain associated with a trauma like that. And although you may try to forget, you can't really forget, even if you do not discuss the event. It stays with you, and it's kind of in your blood, so to speak. So it was, you know, 75 years passed, and it took a commission that was appointed by the Oklahoma State Legislature to investigate the massacre for discussion and for the truth to finally come out.
Carol Boston Weatherford, the new book is called Unspeakable: The Tulsa Race Massacre. I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday. Our conversation was pre-recorded, so we're not taking calls and comments today. So, Carol, you are a Caldecott Honor winner, a Newbery Honor winner, and you've won those kinds of prestigious awards because you have this magical gift of how to tell these stories to children. What were the challenges you faced when you had to, you know, sort of boil this down to a children's book length narrative and also how you actually present it to young readers, some of whom are having it read to them. They're not even old enough to read probably themselves. That's, it seems to me, with a subject this scary and horrific, a real challenge.
The book targets kids who are ages 8 to 12 and can probably be used with older students as well. I like to say that a picture book is an illustrated short story. The main challenge that I had was, one, choosing details that would recreate in the minds of young readers what Greenwood was like. So I didn't dwell on just the campaign of terror, as you so aptly called it. I first set the scene, and I spent two-thirds of the book using terms like once upon a time to show what was and to infer what no longer is. So I wanted to show them that Greenwood was a thriving community that had 10,000 residents in a 35 square block area, 200 businesses, three movie theaters, including one that was black owned, two black owned newspapers, a black surgeon, and the most luxurious black owned hotel in the whole nation, the Stratford Hotel. So I spent two thirds of the book recreating that. And then the last third of the book actually chronicling the massacre itself. Of course, since it's for children, I don't dwell on the, you know, more graphic aspects of that. So, you know, you don't see any blood in the book, for example. You do see the fires, but it's gentle. The storytelling is very, very gentle. And I give the kids just enough information for them to form questions in their mind about the social justice issues surrounding the massacre.
Yeah, and I really do think it's ingenious because, you know, you talk about the grand homes and the lawyers and the doctors and the prominent business people and the movie theaters and, you know, as you mentioned, the 200 businesses, so that they can have a sense of what was lost when all of that was ruined by the white mob. I wonder if you have any advice to parents who today need to talk to their children about events in which white supremacists rear their ugly head. Sometimes those images are, you know, right on the television that's in people's living rooms. Any words of wisdom for parents with kids that age about how to present that fact of life to kids in a way that is appropriate and that just won't terrify them to death?
Sure. I'm a parent, and so I went through that, and I found that children's books are a great way to share, to introduce a topic, or even to expand kids' knowledge about a topic. You know, I would say get some children's nonfiction or some historical fiction about the type of event, about segregation, about slavery, or about current issues that are in the news, like immigration or police brutality. Look for children's books about the topic, read the book, and then see what questions your child has. I always say children are not too tender for tough topics. They deserve and demand the truth. And when they're given the truth, they will know the right questions to ask. So let the kids take the lead.
Yeah, and this book, of course, the illustrations by Floyd Cooper, just fantastic, as well as the storytelling. Again, the book is called Unspeakable, The Tulsa Race Massacre. The author is my guest, Carol Boston Weatherford. As you think about the events in Greenwood, you know, 100 years hence, what do you think are the big lessons of this story, this historical event, and how it resonates with what's going on today in the Black Lives Matter movement, and just what's going on in terms of the racial climate here in America?
Sure. One of the reasons that I write about topics like the Tulsa Race Massacre and other injustices is because children need historical context for current events, and looking at the past and showing how the past is actually linked to the present can provide some of that historical context. So I like to say that, you know, the Tulsa race massacre, police murders, you know, police brutality, and even the January 6th insurrection are all cut from the same white sheets. And that's why it's important that kids know our history.
And when it comes to white supremacist violence, in the author's note of this book, you have a personal familial connection to that as well.
Right. Family lore has it that a relative in Tennessee was lynched. His death certificate says that he burned to death in his home. Of course, it was not reported as a crime. This would have been back in the early 20th century, maybe around 1920. And around that same time on Maryland's Eastern Shore, another relative owned a store in a community that was co-founded by my great-great-grandfather during the Reconstruction era. And family lore has it that that store was burned down by a nearby white competitor.
And we've just had the year anniversary of the murder of George Floyd by Derek Chauvin, who's, of course, been convicted in that murder. As you look back on this last year of the conversation about race, which is, you know, supposedly been going on here in America for a while, but there are those who say that because of Black Lives Matter, because of the fact that so many people took the streets after the death of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and the other, you know, now famous and infamous events in which Black people were killed by police. Do you think we are, in a different place in terms of racial equity and in terms of people's willingness to try to really move the needle and make things better?
Well, I think we're in a different place in terms of the will of some people to move the needle, to speak out and to put their bodies on the line for the struggle for equity and inclusion and justice. But there are others who are, you know, very, very threatened, not only by the murder of George Floyd, but by the Browning of America. So, you know, the jury is still out on that, on whether, you know, whether we've moved the needle and which way it's moving.
Yeah, indeed. And, now we have Congress stalling about even investigating what happened on January 6th. And, there's certainly plenty of signs that things are not moving, or if they're moving in the wrong direction. So what's your next project? What do you got in the works?
As a Baltimorean, I'm excited to tell you that I have two picture book biographies coming out about congresspeople with ties to Baltimore. Coming in September is The Faith of Elijah Cummings, The North Star of Equal Justice. And in October, Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi Calls the House to Order.
Terrific. Two great Baltimoreans written about by another great Baltimorean. That's terrific. We look forward to those. Carol Boston Weatherford, her latest book is called Unspeakable, The Tulsa Race Massacre. It's illustrated by Floyd Cooper. Thanks so much, Carol. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, my guest will be the Pulitzer Prize-winning author and Washington Post reporter Carol Lenig. She's written a book called Zero Fail, The Rise and Fall of the Secret Service. Until then, we wish you a good day on this Memorial Day. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening.